After service, I guess to celebrate my birthday, so I can't get out of it, so it's tomorrow, so, but there's some cake and ice cream, and anyone else whose birthday is in this week, feel welcome, amen. I'm so grateful. I guess I get to, technically I could retire, financially I can't. Someone said, yes, I can? All right. Amen. All right. Well, I'll receive that word in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good and so merciful and so loving. And as you get older, you know, one of the things that you realize is that this body is wearing out. So I wanted to give a lesson tonight on the redemption of the body. Amen. You know, that's the last part of the, let's say, the puzzle that we're waiting for. If you've received the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that your soul is sealed. Amen. The last part that we're waiting for is the redemption of this body. We know that this body has got to be changed. Paul says the mortal must put on what? Immortality. So we're just waiting for this last part. And so tonight I want to teach a lesson I haven't taught probably for about 4 years on the redemption of the body. Amen. And the scripture I'm going to take it from is 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. Amen. I was trying to work out some twinges in the hinges today. She talked about sciatica. As you know, about 2-3 months ago, I had a very severe case where, for the first time, I wasn't able even to come to church for the pain. And I know why it happened, because I challenged the devil. Remember, I said I don't get sick. Amen. And I said I had never been in hospital overnight. So the devil said, okay, well, let's try and put you in hospital. Well, he still lost. Amen. I did not go to the hospital. Amen. And God is restoring my health. But the complete restoration is when we get the redemption of the body. Amen. 1 Corinthians tells us, Paul was explaining to the Corinthians that they shouldn't worry about getting old, because we're going to be changed. Amen. We've got a new body come. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Anyone lost a loved one? I know some of you have lost parents. If they died in the Lord, the Bible says they're going to be raised. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go into this a little bit more. I call this struggles of life. Anyone got no struggles of life? Everything just going peachy keen, as they say? No issues, no problems? Amen. Sickness. Anyone been sick this year? All right. Finances. Anyone got some financial issues? Could do with some more money. Family. We all got family. Amen. Romans 8:22 says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. What Paul was explaining, that once man sinned, once man fell, that brought in all kinds of negative elements into creation. And so life now becomes a struggle. From when we're born, in Genesis, God told Eve that in sorrow will you give birth. And it's going to be a lot more difficult. To Adam, he said, by the sweat of your brow shall you eat bread. You know, you have to get up every day and go and work. I guess you can blame Adam for that. And so not only that, but just life's struggles. It seems that you just get through one thing and you think, okay, things are going to start getting better. And then some other big thing happens. And so Paul says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The good news is, this isn't life. This is the birth pangs. Amen. Imagine if you can, and God is so merciful, there's none of us can remember being in the womb, I take it, right? None of you remember being in the womb. Isn't God gracious that he does not let us remember of going through birth? Imagine if we had to remember going through birth. She's probably the closest one to remembering, right? Amen. Caitlin. But imagine if God shields our consciousness so that we do not remember the pain of actually being born. Many babies that are born through the birth canal, you know, they come out with a conical-shaped head because the pressure is so much it actually squashes the head. Imagine if you were fully conscious and going through that. That would not be great. But that's exactly, symbolically, what happened to Adam and Eve. They became conscious before God wanted them to. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and now we're going through the birth pangs. Because what we call life is not life. Eternal life is really true life, and that's yet to come. Paul says that right now we're going through a tribulation, a travail, a birth pangs, until now. But that was not God's original plan. When he created Adam and Eve, they were created in innocency, as I say nearly every Sunday. As we had Sunday when I talked about, we had two baby dedications, right? We had two baby dedications, and I said, what do you think of when you look at a 3-month-old baby or a 2-month-old? What is the first thing that comes to your mind? Innocence. You just want to pick that baby up and hug it. That's what Adam and Eve were like before they sinned. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. I asked Sunday, why do people have children? Sister Johnny, why did you have children? Huh? Can you remember why you decided you wanted children? Amen. That's as good an answer as any. That's why God created us. He wanted us to be in his image, to produce something that was like him. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So God wanted to produce something in his image. That means we were going to be just like God. Think about what that means, to be in his image and in his likeness. The Bible said, then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so when man was first created, as I've said so many times, he was created a 3-part being. He was a spirit or a soul, put in a body, and then covered with God's spirit. Genesis 1:28 says, and God said, bless them. And God said unto them, be fruitful. There were 4 commands originally. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. I'm going to be going pretty fast tonight because I have a lot of slides to go through. So before the fall, man was in perfection, just like that little baby. I mean, when you look at the little baby, you don't know what that baby is going to turn out to be. Because when you look at all the babies, anyone ever been up to the delivery room in the hospital and you see them all in their cribs, you know? Exactly. They're just so perfect. And yet we know some of them may not turn out to be so good in the end. But when we're born, we have that potential because we were created originally in God's image. Genesis 2:15 says, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. When God created us, he didn't just create us to go sit on a cloud. Some people's view of heaven is it's going to be boring. Just get a harp and sit on a cloud. No, there is actually going to be work for us to do. In the NIV translation, it says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. God doesn't like lazy people. Although he produced this beautiful garden, there were still things for Adam and Eve to do. And one of the most important things we have to understand that man was created a son of God. And I've said that so many times. Luke 3:38 gives the genealogy of Christ going backwards, starting from Christ and going all the way back to Adam. So it ends with the Son of God and it begins with the Son of God, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the Son of God. Now, the other day, my wife doesn't drink regular milk, and so she buys the regular milk for me. And because I don't drink it often, sometimes it stays in there a while. And as I told you, I went in there the other day and poured out some and then realized it was way past its date. It was way past its expiration date. Everything that man creates has an expiration date, whether you know it or not. You know, when they're designing motor cars, automobiles, they have a design, they have a projected how long it's supposed to last. You know, maybe it's supposed to do 200,000 miles. So they'll set the warranty to 100,000 miles because they know how many failures are going to happen in that first million cars. And so the amazing thing about God is when he created man, he had no expiration date. It had nothing stamped on the milk bottle. It was going to be forever. So man was created and had no expiration date because he was a son of God. In fact, he was immortal. He was glorious. I believe Adam was covered with a Shekinah glory just like Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration when he revealed what a son of God really looks like. Amen. He was a body, a soul, and a spirit. Just as how God is three manifestations in one, Adam was one person, but he was comprised of a body, a soul, and a spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you." What does that mean? Separate you. Holy, that means all of you, all the whole parts of you. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't say perfect. There's a difference between being blameless and perfect. We're not perfect, but the judges said, case dismissed. Amen. We're not getting the blame, in other words. Isn't that awesome? And Paul here, I believe through the Spirit, gives the order of creation because first we were created a spirit being, a soul. And then that was put into a body, and the scripture says became a living soul in the body. Be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, where was the first place that man met God? In the garden. So in other words, the garden, you could think of it as a temple. Because a temple is a place where we go to meet God. In the Old Testament, when they built a temple, it was the place they went to worship God. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Now, they had made, as I've said before, fig leaves. But the fig leaves only covered what? The flesh. It could not cover the soul. And it was the soul that was the most important part. This body, once man sinned, was going to die. God had already decided it could not be fixed. It needed to be replaced. And I'm so glad that God has decided he's going to replace this body, because I can see where this body soon won't be able to be fixed. You know, as I said Sunday, the hair dye can only go so far. Amen. As the mileage runs up on the car, you know what starts to happen? That's right, you know, you start to have these repairs that you need. You know, first the gasket goes out, then they have to replace the belts, and then you have to do this. But you know what? God has already prepared a body. Amen. So when man sinned, his covering died. Genesis 3:3, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall he touch it, lest he die." At least that's what Eve said. But she got deceived by listening to the wrong word. I said a few Sundays ago, you got to be careful where you're eating, right? Because you can be eating some bad word. You got to be careful which table spiritually you eat from, because you can be eating some bad word. Faith comes by, right? But also bad faith comes by. I mean, let's look at all the religions that are out there. How come people believe what they believe? It's because they heard something and they put faith in it. So faith is a law. It's whatever you hear or whatever you take into your system that gets in there. That's why we should be very careful what we listen to, what word we're listening to, because it gets inside our system. Because Eve listened to the word from the serpent, she was deceived. She started looking and listening to what he was saying. Oh, you won't surely die. The Bible says then she looked at it, that it was pleasant to the eye, and that it looked good for food. And what he said, it was going to make you wise. Sounded all good, right? Satan is so clever. An outright lie is not too bad, because most times it's obvious. It's when it's mixed with a little bit of truth, or when a truth is mixed with a little bit of lie, that's when it becomes very dangerous, because you're looking at the truth part and not the amount of lie that's in there. So we see that the spirit covering died, leaving man just being a body and soul. Now, science has discovered in the last century that our bodies actually are coded with a language, and they call that DNA. And that language is made up of four chemical, they call them bases, or four chemical compounds, which they call bases. And they have names for them. And that they found out that that's what codes for everything that you're going to be, your eye color, your height, your hair, everything. And what they found out was this was a language. And it spelled out for the cells what to produce and how your body was going to be shaped and how tall you were going to be and all of that. And in fact, the Bible mentions this long time ago. Psalms 139 verse 16 says, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect or imperfect. And in my book, in thy book, all my members were written." Inside that little cell, egg cell, once it's been fertilized, is everything you're going to be, even before you were born. "Yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." The Bible really spelled it out a long time ago, how that all works. Now, we see, though, that when man was created, he was created immortal. And there's a thing that science has found, that blood cells, well, all the body's cells, for some reason, they will only multiply or divide or replicate about 7 or 8 times. After that, for some reason, they switch off and they die. It's amazing. And they cannot really point a finger as to why they do that. Now, when they don't die, that's not good either. When they keep replicating, that is called, anyone know? Cancer. When they replicate out of control, that's cancer, because a tumor grows. And so they don't understand exactly what switches that cell off and on. But remember what I said, when God created us, we didn't have an expiration date. They don't understand why certain cells only will divide so many times over the lifetime. And once they stop replacing themselves, we call that aging. But in the Bible, that language of life was in there, spelled out, that there was a book. And it was only in the 1950s that they were able to decipher a little bit of that book and find out, yes, there is a language that codes for everything. And we see, though, that because of man's fall, God had to do something with that language. Sister Johnny.
I was thinking, is that maybe during the time when God shortened the man's life?
You're getting exactly where I'm going. Remember, when man was created, as I said, he had no expiration date. But we see something interesting in Genesis chapter 6. After man began to multiply on the earth and become violent because of the changing and Satan's plan to destroy the lineage of man through the fallen angels, through the hybridization. In Genesis 6:3 it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years." This was the first time it would appear that God put an expiration date, 120 years. Up to that point, we find in Genesis 5 that people were living hundreds of years. So all of us would still be babies. You'd all be babies, not even teenagers. Maybe I'd be a teenager now at 62. Right, Sister Johnny? We'd be teenagers, but the rest of them here would be like babies. I mean, if you were going to live 800 years, think about that. You could spend 50 years doing this thing, 50 years go back and become a lawyer, 50 years go become a... Imagine how much knowledge you could accumulate if you were going to live 800 or 900 years. But the problem was that instead of using that time to serve God, man became more wicked. Man became even more vile. So even though man became subject to death, in the time that was allotted, that time was used even more to go against God. So God had to do something more. He had to move the expiration date up, so to speak. And so it says, yet his day shall be 120 years. And so we see in Genesis, I think it's 11, that the Bible says that God came down and he changed the language. It says the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And I pointed out something there. It says the whole earth was of one language and one speech. Now, why does it use two words to describe what most people think is the same thing? One language and one speech. Why doesn't it just say one language? Well, my belief is that it was speaking about two different languages. In the Hebrew, the word speech is dabar, and it means utterance or saying. But the word language actually means binding. Binding. And so we see what it's really saying is the whole earth was of one binding. In other words, one type, one DNA, one ethnicity, and also of one language. And so God decided to shorten man's expiration date even more because of sin, because of wickedness, because the earth had become so violent. And so we see that after the flood, the ages started to decrease. Methuselah was the longest recorded living man. He lived 969 years. Adam lived, I think, 930 years. Noah's father, Lamech, lived 777 years. And Noah was, I think, the second longest living man. He lived 600 years up until the flood and another 300 and something years after the flood. So he lived, I think, 930 something years. So God, because of man's continual sin, because of his continual rebellion, decided he had to take the expiration date now down further. Now remember, the whole of this topic is about the redemption of the body. The redemption of the body. Because we see that because of man's wickedness, things got worse and worse. So God not only changed the spoken language, but I believe in the two words, speech and language, he changed speech and language, that he was speaking of the DNA. Because as I've said, scientists do not understand why it is actually that the cells just stop reproducing. After about seven cycles, some of the cells have what's programmed death. They actually are programmed to kill themselves. And then we start to age. When I had that sciatica thing and I went in to the doctor, he said, well, let's take an x-ray. And he took an x-ray of my spine because he wanted to see, if it was a compression of the lumbar, if it was my spine that was compressing the nerves, or if it was the muscle that was compressing the nerves. And he showed me the x-ray and he says, yeah. And he could have told from my x-ray basically how old I was, because he could see little fraying on each of the little lumbar discs. And the amount of fraying depends on your age. So he looked at it and he said, yeah, you've got a little bit of fraying, but it's not the lumbar disc that's causing your sciatica. Thank you, Jesus. But he could look at that and he could show me the fraying on the edges of the disc. He could just look at it and see that already the bones in my spine were starting to decay. That was kind of depressing. Looking at that, the proof, I am aging. See, you know what I've been doing? Fig leaves. The fig leaves cover the outside. We can put a lot of fig leaves on the outside, can't we? But it doesn't do anything on the inside. The whole creation is still groaning and travailing in pain. You can fix this outside. I saw on the TV the other day, they were advertising this cream. And you young people just don't even look at this ad, because I'm sure you never heard of it. But this cream, you could rub it on your eye, and within 2 minutes, it would take out the wrinkles. And would get rid of crow's feet. I don't know how long it lasts, but you know what that's doing? Fig leaves. Fig leaves. We cannot fix this body. God has already decided that it needs to be changed, that it cannot be redeemed. So all we're doing is actually, we laugh at Adam and Eve that they could do that, but we're doing the same thing. Some of us. You young'uns are not yet, but the day will come when you start making fig leaves. So God changed the DNA language. He added a new expiration date. So the age of man came down, and we see that after the flood, that it started to come down very sharply. And in fact, someone has taken all the numbers and put it into a graph, and it follows a mathematical curve called an exponential decay curve. See, Romans 8:20, Paul was explaining this. He says, for the creature, that's us, was made subject to vanity, decay. God didn't do this because he wanted to, but it was his only way to redeem the body. Because what's important to God of the three parts? That's right, your soul, your spirit. And how can he get the soul into another body? The body has to die. It's when we die that our soul leaves this body. And it's at that point that he can put it in a new body. So if this body won't die, then we're stuck with this terrible, unredeemed flesh over which we don't have much control. And so it was God's plan for this body to die so that he could take the soul and put it in a new body. And that's what Romans 8:20 is telling us. For the creature was made subject to decay. I'm going to grow old. You're going to grow old. Your hair's going to grow gray, maybe, unless you do some fig leaves. The Bible says, not willingly. This was not originally in God's plan. He did it, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. In hope. He did this with the hope that there would be those who would come to him and say, Lord, put me in a new body. Give me a new body. He did this in the hope, had subjected the same in hope. So David in Psalms 8 was explaining this. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with honor and glory. The revelation that I had was that this made him a little lower than the angels was not at the beginning, but was after man sinned. Man was never lower than the angels when God created him. He was made in God's image. He was created, just like Jesus, to be a son of God. But because of sin, man now had to be made lower than the angels, became mortal, became subject to death. Because originally, God had made him higher than the angels. In fact, in Hebrews it says, he maketh his angels ministering spirits, sent forth to minister, that is to serve, those who are the heirs of salvation. Who's the heirs of salvation? We are. Paul says, don't you know that you are going to judge angels? Amen. The angels were created to serve us. But because of sin, because this body became under the control of Satan, it became subject to decay and death. That's why this lesson is about the redemption of the body. Amen. That's not the end of the story, that we're growing old. See, just like in the garden, God provided a covering. Amen. The fig leaves wasn't going to cut it. There had to be a covering for the soul. And so Paul here, David in Psalms is explaining, for thus made him a little lower than the angel and has crowned him with glory and honor. So this psalm referred, I believe, to Adam. But because of the confounding of the language, it now only applied before the Holy Spirit to Jesus, the second Adam. And the reason why I can say this is that the writer of Hebrews applies Psalms 8 to Jesus. See, when we were born sons of God, we were higher than the angels. But now, because of the genetic defect of sin, we are born sons of men and are not just a little lower anymore, but we're way lower. Let's look at this in a graph. See, when Adam was created, it says, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Can you get any higher than that? Because he says in Hebrews, which of the angels has he allowed to call him Father? And yet he gave us the right to say Abba. So when man was created, he was the highest creation of God. And then because of sin, he lost the spirit covering, became subject to death, but still lived hundreds of years. But then they continued sinning. And before the flood, they still lived hundreds of years. But because of sinning even after the flood, God had to take them down even more. Lost long life, body became subject to early death. And today, subject to all kinds of diseases. In fact, the life expectancy at the turn of the century was probably no more than the average person lived maybe 60 years. It's only just now in the last 100 years because of modern medicine that life expectancy has started to go up. The other day, I read about the death of the oldest lady, or proved, with documents. I think she was 113, so now it's reverted to a man. He's 113 in a few months. That's quite a long time. But according to Noah's day, that would have been like, you know, a toddler. Someone who was probably like a 10-year-old is to us. So we became subject to death, the fall of mankind. And that's what Romans is talking about, that he did not do this willingly, but subjected this flesh in the hope that one day he would be able to take that soul for those that would come to him and give us a new and redeemed body. Genesis 6:3, let me read that again. It says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." And how long, just to show you, how long did Moses live? Huh? No, Moses after the flood. 120 years, that was the clue. But man's ages still started to keep going down. Until finally, the Bible says, I think in Psalm 90, what does it say? 70 years and 10. And then if by reason of strength, 80 years. You see, if it wasn't for my faith and belief, that'd be pretty depressing for me. It means I only got 8 years left. Come tomorrow, right? If it's 70 years and 10, man, that's kind of not a lot of time left, really. But you know, thanks be to God, the Bible says that we shall not die, but we shall be changed. Amen. I'm not going to die. I'm passed from death unto life. Ooh, and it can't come soon enough. I'm not wishing for death, but I know where I'm going. I know I am looking forward to seeing Jesus. I am looking forward to being that throne room and of knowing that I've made it. You've probably never seen me rejoice, but I tell you what, if I suddenly find myself in the throne room, as someone said, no one's going to out-rejoice me. Who was that at, we read a service at POW, and he says he's never going to let the devil out-rejoice him, out-worship him. I tell you what, if I find myself in God's throne room, I think I'll sing myself hoarse. Amen. Amen. So we were made progressively lower. We became subject to death. Lost our spirit covering because of disobedience. And when I say they lost the spirit covering, that was the image of God. And we became subject to the bondage of decay and the shortening even of the fleshly life. And that's why God symbolically did that when the patriarch Moses was taken up to the mountain. It was 120 years. Remember, he was 80 years when he started his ministry, and he led them 40 years in the wilderness, so he was approximately maybe 122. Hebrews 1:14, here's the scripture I quoted. Are they not all? Satan was never above mankind. That's why you need to put him back under your feet. Remember that message I preached about Master? Anyone remember that? Anyone remember the message I preached about? Think about it. Look it up. About who's your master? No, who's your master? The master is not, we are not what, subject? Anyone? Oh, the master is The servant is not. Think about it. I'll let you guys go look it up. Are they not all ministering spirits? Every single angel that was created to serve you. Think about that. In Matthew 18, he says, and I quoted this Sunday, the little ones. Don't you mess with these little ones. Don't you understand that their angels, meaning their servants, their guardians, do always behold the face of my Father. When you become a little one, when you completely trust God, when you're relying upon Him, do you know what? The angel of the Lord encampeth around them. The angel of the Lord is protecting you. He's protected me several times. I've told you about the times when this car just came straight across the highway, straight at me at 80 miles an hour. I didn't even have time to think. I didn't even have time to get scared. It was so quick. Like I saw this car, it cut across the freeway. I don't know if he was drunk or what. I mean, it was 9 o'clock in the morning, and he just cut straight across, straight at me. Somehow, something pushed him aside at the last minute. The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. God sent his angel to Daniel, and he said, O king, live forever. The God whom I serve is able to deliver me. He hath sent his angel and did what? Shut the mouth of the lion. Hebrews 1:7 says, And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. They were created to serve us. The psalmist, let me go back to that. For thou hast made him. And what I'm trying to say is that that happened when man fell, when he became subject to death. Because when we were originally created, verse 6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. That means man was originally put over anything that God had created, everything that God created. That's why I believe Adam could do everything that Jesus did. He could speak to the wind. He certainly spoke to the animals, and they obeyed him. He said, your name is Lion. Don't know if the lion talked. But he obeyed him. He said, your name is Sheep. And to show that Adam had been given dominion, God brought the animals and listened to what Adam named them. And what the Bible says, whatever he named them, that was their name. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands and hast put all things under his feet. That includes Satan. Amen? Come on, can I get an amen about that? That includes Satan should be under our feet. Isn't that what he says in Genesis 3:15? That the seed of the woman would bruise his heel, but he was going to crush his head. Amen. Amen. So the first son was given the dominion to subdue it and have dominion. In other words, glory and honor. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So as soon as Satan was in the garden, he was subject to being under dominion. So everything that God had created was originally given dominion to Adam. And it was only after he sinned, he became lower than the angels because we became subject to death. Amen. We became subject to death. And in fact, in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews brings this out. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? You know what I'm thinking about? The Lord's Prayer. Teach us to pray. Jesus said, pray ye after this manner, our Father. What does that mean? If he says our Father, who does that make me to him? I'm his brother. That means our Father is the same. That means Father, God is my Father. That means I am his son. Listen to this. Hebrews says, to which of the angels did he ever give that right? We need to walk with our head held up. I am a son of God. Amen. I am a princess of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father. In the New Testament, it says he has given us the right to say Abba, which is the Hebrew for father. I think most of the time I pray, I've gotten into the habit now, I always say Father. I always say Father because he is my Father. When I'm in trouble, that's who I'm going to call. I'm not going to call Ghostbusters. I'm going to call my Heavenly Father. Amen. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. The Bible says that we have become joint heirs with him. And again, when he bringeth in the begotten, first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Paul takes Psalms 8 and he makes it plain. Now, he's not quoting from Psalms 8, but he tells us the reason why man was made lower. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. Why made lower? Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing. Say nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. That's why if we understood who we are and where we are in God, we could point to things and declare things. Because it said he left nothing. 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 No sickness. No disease, no jerk at work. My parents used to have a habit of pointing at things and speaking out some words of faith and just declaring things. I don't think I do that enough. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. We don't see it. Nobody, none of us in here are on the news as being famous or a celebrity or having any superpowers. It's not apparent. But God sees. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. He's applying Psalms 8 to the other son, Jesus, who was also made a little lower. Here's the revelation. Could Jesus ever be killed?
No.
He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down. But the Jesus had in his flesh to be made lower than the angels, made mortal, so that he too could do what?
Die.
That's why we were made mortal, so that we too could die, so that God could give us a new body. And Jesus, who is the first fruits of them that died, when he arose, he had a new body. Amen? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, and this is the revelation. Paul explains why. For the suffering of death, now crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. That means we don't have to taste it. Do you understand? He tasted it for us. We are not going to have to taste death. The Bible said we are seated in heavenly places. And all that's going to happen if you're alive when Jesus comes is you're going to be changed. You're suddenly going to be changed. I don't know what's exactly going to happen, but I don't know, you're going to glow, light up. You're going to be revealed. You're going to be transfigured. And the next thing you know, you're going to be with Jesus, caught up in the air. Hallelujah. Look, Paul in Romans 14 said, for the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So I'm talking about the redemption of the body. This is the last part we're waiting for. God has already redeemed our soul through his death at Calvary. Right now, we're just waiting for this last penny to drop when this body shall be changed. Amen. And that's what we're waiting for. So what should we expect down here while we're waiting? Is it to get rich?
No.
In fact, here's a truth we might not like. But Jesus said it's better for you to go into heaven with one leg, one ear missing, an eye hanging out. Why? Because he's got a new body. If you had a beat up hoopty and you were given $1 million, where are you going to go with that hoopty? You're going to go and trade it in, right? The headlight could be hanging out. The door might not shut. It's got dents and scratches all over, right? But you don't care about that because you know you're going to get what? A brand new 2018 top of the line Lexus. Amen? That's exactly what God has got in store for us. It's not about this body. Yes, he wants us to be happy in this body, but if we are not, you know, the most beautiful person in the world, don't worry. He's got the thing that can fix the inside. The world may have the fig leaves that can pretty up the outside for a time, but there's a time when it doesn't work. Do you know the thing about fig leaves is it was only temporary. What would have happened to the fig leaves if they just kept wearing them? It would dry up and fall off, just like hair dye. Is it to have a life of pleasure? Is that what we're promised down here?
No.
Is it to never be sick?
No.
God is not so much interested in this body. It'd be like if you know that you're getting in 2 months a brand new latest model car, how much money are you going to spend fixing up this one? Not much. All you want it to do is to get you through to the next 2 months. Is that right? Because if you put any money in this car, you're wasting it, aren't you? You're not going to go replace the engine when you know in 2 months you're going to get a brand new car. So some of the things that we are invested in, God is not invested in. All he wants you to do is get through so that you can get to the next stage. He's not so interested in putting in a brand new engine and, you know, you got a brand new engine, but the rest of the car has got holes in it and rusting out anyway. All he's interested in is to get you the new car. So it's not that we're never going to be sick. It's not that we're never going to have problems. But we were created to serve him. And once we understand that he's got a brand new vehicle coming along, you understand, we were not created to make ourselves happy. I asked, why do people have children? It's so that they can pour all the love, all of their being into that child. And what makes a parent happy is when that child is successful. That's what God wants for us. Okay? In Revelation 4:11, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." You know who's talking? It's the 24 elders that have been redeemed from the earth. "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Amen. So man as originally created is exactly the way God intended. What we're going to go back to is what God showed, what Jesus showed on the Mount of Transfiguration. So he could have created us only as a spirit being, like the angels, but he created us with a physical body because that's what he wanted. We're not going to be sitting up on a cloud somewhere forever, but we were created to rule and have dominion over this earth. Amen? We were created a body, a soul, and a spirit. 1 John 3:2 starts to give us the advertising, the coming attraction. You ever seen when the new car model is going to be coming out, they start an advertising campaign. They start showing you these nice, beautiful models with all this stuff in it that's got all of the latest stuff. Here's what God is showing us. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. That means we've got the covering in here. Our soul is sealed. But it doth not yet appear. You can't see on the outside yet what we shall be. Here's the point you got to believe. But we know. Do you know? He didn't say, but we even think. He says, but we know. Know is the next level above just belief. When you know. When you know. You don't just believe it, you know. You know that when you go turn on that light, something's going to happen. You don't even think about it. In fact, you're shocked if the light don't come on. What's happened to this? John here said, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are going to be identically like Jesus Christ because we will have been back to being fully a son of God. Heirs and joint heirs. John 17:6, this is Jesus praying just before he was arrested. He said, I have manifested thy name. And that word in the Greek is phaner. It means he showed them what a son of God is like. I've said many times, he wasn't just saying, I spelled my name for them. When he says, I've manifested the name, he wasn't just saying, you spell my name, J-E-S-U-S. No, he was speaking about sonship. I've showed them the power of a son of God. They've seen me say to the winds and waves, peace be still. They've seen me turn water into wine. They've seen me take a 2 loaves and 5 fishes and feed 5,000. That's what a son of God power is all about. I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gavest me. This is what we're going to go back to. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. See, the name, the full name was revealed to Peter. Thou art the Christ. Doesn't end there. The Son of the living God. He has shown, manifested who he was. And he was the first Son of God since Adam. So the Bible says where he is where we will be. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And I quoted this Sunday. It starts off with, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And then verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Every single prophecy so far has been fulfilled. We're just waiting now for the final ones. And it can't be too long. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, quickly. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, according to Scripture, he's seated on the right hand of the Father. And if that's where he is, that's where we are going to be too. Here's where he is. Revelation 22:2 says, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. I want to paint you a picture. It's hard to paint a picture of paradise, but I want to paint you a picture. Was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Revelation 22:14 says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. See, he had to prepare a body to come down to earth to redeem us. Hebrews 10:5 says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. All those sacrifices, animal sacrifices, were just temporary coverings. They were not the perfect covering because that animal, although innocent, could not voluntarily give its life. It was taken. But Jesus said, no one taketh my life, but I give it freely. And because he gave it freely, just like thousands of years before Abraham was asked to come and sacrifice his son, and he obeyed, God said, okay, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. 1 Corinthians 15:35 say, well, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? Not every morning, but... Lately, I looked in the mirror, and because I've been staying up late, and I look in the mirror, and I have this all these wrinkles here. And my friend, Brother Antonio, I don't know if he's listening, but he called me Sunday and told me about this tree opposite him, this big oak tree that had been there 300 years, and it toppled over in the street. And he said he was really kind of sad about it, and I said, well, you know, don't be too sad about this oak tree, because it's really not dead. Because think of the thousands and thousands of seeds, acorns. There's probably trees all up and down that road that actually come from this one tree. The Corinthian church were trying to understand, well, this is what I look like now with all these wrinkles and gray hair, but what am I going to look like? So Paul said, listen, some will say, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? Yes, but it's not just even a new body. It's a glorified body. It's like the same thing as a moth is to a butterfly is to a little grubby caterpillar. You just look at them and they're not even close. One can fly. One can take off. One's got beautiful colors on them. I forgot to plug this in. But that's okay. We're almost at the end anyway. God wanted me to hold the rest of it. If you could stand with me. The Bible says that we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Now for a caterpillar to turn into a butterfly usually takes about 6 weeks. But with us it's going to be a lot faster. Much, much faster. God's going to speed up the process. The Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. In the scripture, Paul says that just like there are bodies terrestrial, there are bodies celestial. When I get to heaven, I am absolutely believing I'll have no wrinkles. My wife was saying, she's laughing, She was telling me, she's got no crow's feet. And I said, no, you don't. You look pretty good, I think. I'm afraid I don't have any crow's feet, but I got all of these marks here from doing this and thinking too hard. But you know, when I get my glorified body, I'm going to look like I was probably about 20, 21. And when I was 21, I looked like 15. I would go into the office and people would say, what's this high school guy doing in here? I didn't have any lines doing here because we're going to be raised incorruptible. Your loved ones are going to look like they were in their prime. Amen. In fact, better than they ever, ever looked, ever, ever, ever possibly looked. It says, their bodies terrestrial, their bodies celestial. And the glory of one is completely different. Like, see, God is so funny in that he showed us through the caterpillar and the butterfly what he's going to do. And it's amazing because if you cut open the chrysalis, it's all mushed up. That whole body completely breaks down to a mush. And all of the amino acids and everything rearranges itself to produce something that can fly and look so beautiful and graceful. Amen. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, to wit, waiting, the children of God are waiting for the revelation of the children of God. We're going to be changed. My encouragement to you is this: no matter what you're going through right now, just hold on a little bit longer. Amen. Don't give up. Don't turn around. Don't go off the track. Because God has got a mansion prepared. We're going to be redeemed pretty soon. Very soon the trumpet is going to sound. And the dead in Christ will be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them, the Bible says, to meet them in the air. And you young ones who think you got a lot of things to do and you don't want the rapture to come, don't worry about that. He's got plans for you too. Amen. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what God hath got in store for them that love him. We've just got the earnest, the deposit. Just by through faith we can maybe glimpse a little. But he's got such wonderful things. To miss heaven will be the greatest mistake, the greatest error that anyone can make. Because he said, listen, I'm going to fix what Satan did in the garden. I'm going to restore the garden. He said, every tree that I have not planted is what? Rooted up. That's why when you read in Revelation, there is no tree of knowledge of good and evil. Never mentioned again. It's gone. It's been rooted up. But the Bible says those that are planted in the house of God, they're going to be watered. They're going to be blessed. I'm trying to close, but I want to leave this encouraging word that very soon your name's going to be called in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There's going to be such rejoicing in heaven. Can you imagine for a moment to know that you have made it, that this is over? That all of this trials and tribulations, all of your struggles are over, and that you have made it, and that your salvation is no more by faith, but it is now reality. Because this is going to happen. We're going to close this service, but I just want to encourage you tonight. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain, waiting to wit for the redemption of the body. Hallelujah. God is going to do something special, I believe, if we will just hold on and not give up. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you tonight for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your deliverance. Lord, we just ask right now that these words find good soil, that we be encouraged tonight to look for your coming, for your deliverance, for your blessing. We thank you, hallelujah, and we are looking for your coming soon, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, that we shall be changed and we shall be raptured. Lord, we ask you right now, let your holy angels surround us.